Over the years, as I would sit down with families to plan the funeral of a loved one and would ask them for any special messages from the scriptures that they would want included in the funeral, it was rare that one of the requests would not be the 23rd Psalm. In fact, if I would ask you this morning to recite your favorite psalm, my guess would be that most of you would start out by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In fact, there is possibly no section in all of Scripture which has been read, quoted, memorized, put to song, or just generally referred to more often than Psalm 23. Likewise, there are a few pictures of our Lord which have proven to be more lasting and popular over the years than the picture of Jesus, the Good Shepherd, a picture based on the words of Jesus this morning in John chapter 10, our gospel lesson, the Good Shepherd chapter of the Bible. Words and pictures which provide the inspiration for so many of our hymns and spiritual songs today. You know, I am Jesus' little lamb. It's easy to see why these two biblical classics, Psalm 23 and John chapter 10, are so well liked. I mean, they illustrate the compassionate, unchanging, selfless love which our God has for us. Even non-believers can be impressed and get excited by the beauty of this scene. I mean, Jesus leading and, if need be, carrying his faithful through the trials and the tribulations of this life, through the valley of the shadow of death and on to their eternal rest in heaven. But this is not just sentimental poetry and a pretty picture. In fact, to those who don't know Jesus as the one and only Good Shepherd, the real meaning of these shepherd passages of the Bible is hidden. In fact, it's meaningless nonsense. Only the sheep, only we who trust Jesus to guide us throughout life and to save us at the time of death, only we are capable of saying, "The Lord, Jesus, is my shepherd. I shall not want." You know, it's not a very flattering picture of us that Jesus paints here. I wonder if today Jesus, as a cultural equivalent, wouldn't use pigs instead of sheep. Now, I have a son-in-law who raises hogs, and I know something about hogs. I really wouldn't compare my son-in-law to a hog shepherd, but he knows what it's like to raise these things. You know, pigs are not the most highly esteemed of God's creatures. To be called a pig is one of the worst insults imaginable, in fact. But isn't that kind of what Jesus is doing here today? We don't understand sheep the way folks back in those days did. But if we did, I think we would agree. We know them maybe only as cute and cuddly stuffed animals. Might think of them as gentle and innocent, kind of animal you'd like to have as a pet. But that is because we haven't been around sheep. In reality, sheep are not attractive, lovable animals at all. They're worse than pigs in this regard. For one thing, they're filthy. Most animals have at least some desire to be clean, and on occasion will exert a little bit of effort in that direction. But animals don't, or sheep don't. And besides that, sheep are notoriously, to put it kindly, brain challenged. The example I once heard is that if you hold a stick up in front of a lead sheep in a procession, He'll jump over it. And so will every sheep that follows, even though you've removed that stick from the first one who cleared it. You know, their mindless flock mentality just forces them up into the air. Kind of like turkeys maybe today. And closely related also to that is the fact that sheep are utterly dependent and helpless creatures. They're defenseless. But you know, by the way they would act, you wouldn't think so. They wander aimlessly, oblivious and vulnerable to all kinds of danger. And then when danger does come, they're helpless to save themselves. In fact, while most animals will put up a fight in the face of death, a sheep walks blindly and even willingly to the slaughter. So, dirty, ignorant, helpless animals who need to be saved. That's what Jesus is saying here. At least that's how Jesus pictures us. And that's how a true follower of Jesus sees himself or herself. Sin dirties us. And oftentimes we could care less. It makes us ignorant about things spiritual, about God and what God has done for us and what he desires for us. We wander aimlessly, not knowing, and oftentimes not even caring about the dangers that can kill our souls. Jesus talks here about the enemies that a sheep has. Now, a wolf, as everybody, especially a sheep, knows, means trouble. The devil can rip us apart here in this life, and he can destroy our souls in hell. We know enough to stay away from the big bad wolf, right? It's ironic, here as an aside, the last name of my son-in-law is Wolf. But Jesus also talks about the hired hand being an enemy of the sheep. The spiritual caretakers of the sheep, lo and behold, turn out to be the ones who are the enemy. Jesus was referring here directly to the Pharisees and the other religious leaders of the Jews of the day who failed to point the people to the Good Shepherd and instead made the following of their own rules and regulations the haven for security and safety. But you know, their guidance and protection evaporated when the wolf attacked, mainly because it didn't enhance their status. They had no vested interest in the safety of the sheep. It's that kind of subtle and spiritual deception that sheep of every age easily can fall prey to. Every religion, every philosophy, every spiritual theory has its own followers. I mean, even in our secular culture today, a culture of materialism, individualism, humanism, whatever ism you want to refer to, in this culture there is a hunger that drives many people to search for something more. Sheep wander from church to church, from television preacher to New Age prophet, from this personal point of view to that published multi-step self-help program, from one stage on their spiritual journey to another. And along the way, so many are deceived and finally left defenseless against vicious temptations and troubles. The attack of the one who can destroy them. Such is the predicament of sheep. Left to ourselves, to our own devices, we're as good as dead. The odds for survival, zero. Both because of what we are and the enemies that we have. Who of us hasn't experienced that overwhelming feeling of helplessness? The dangers out there so threatening and the resources in here so inadequate. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes of his day, Matthew writes, because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Doesn't that also describe us much of the time in our day? No wonder these words from Jesus about a good shepherd bring us such peace and hope. The good shepherd gathers his sheep and leads them, and finally, as a true shepherd, not necessarily a hog farmer today, but a true shepherd back then would. He even lays down his life to save those sheep. Coming into this world, it was Jesus' desire to shepherd us, that is, to establish a living relationship together with us. God with us, Emmanuel. In those days, true shepherds spent all their waking hours with the sheep, and at night they would gather them and guard them in sheep pens. Shepherds knew their sheep personally, knew each one by name, in fact, and the sheep knew their shepherd, responded only to his voice, followed only him. But what made Jesus the good shepherd, not just a good shepherd, one among many, but the one and only, is that he went even further. He became a sheep himself, the Lamb of God, who on a cross took away the sin of the world. As Isaiah would say, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. As helpless sheep looked on, their shepherd was savagely attacked, killed while he was coming to their defense. One of our Lenten hymns puts it this way: how strange is this great paradox to ponder. The shepherd dies for sheep who love to wander. The master pays the debt his servants owe him who would not know him. But not against his will did he allow this. And not without effect. Of my own accord, Jesus says, I laid down my life. Of my own accord. The word there literally means to lay it aside voluntarily for a while, as one would a piece of clothing, only to take it up again and put it on. So with authority he laid it down, and with authority he took it up again, as God raised him from the dead on Easter. That authority makes Jesus' sacrifice for sin now acceptable to God. He forgives our sins of wandering and disobedience. That victory over our enemies of devil and world and flesh makes Jesus the Good Shepherd. Know this then. Jesus the Good Shepherd is not just another pretty picture. When you hear the 23rd Psalm, listen also for the shouts of "Crucify Him" and the pounding of nails into wood. When you see the picture of Jesus leading sheep and carrying a lamb, look also for the gruesome outline of a bloody cross. Because behind the tranquility lies the horrible sight and the sound of a lamb mercilessly attacked and killed for our sinful wandering. One who would rise again from the dead, victorious. Know this lamb who is your shepherd, as he knows you and calls you by name. Listen to his voice, his familiar voice, as it's calling out to you day and again in his word. Trust only him to save you. and then follow him, taking up your cross. Follow him to the green pastures and the quiet waters, because then goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.